A big test is coming Wednesday for Christianity in the United States. Supposedly, there are 35 to 40 million Catholics in the U.S. Now, I believe that the baptized number, that's supposedly practicing Catholics, the baptized number is probably closer to 75 or 80 million. It's double that figure. Those that have actually been baptized, and this is the dirty little secret that the bishops and no one else will tell you, and that is, once baptized Catholic, you're for life. You are Catholic. That includes Premier Regime Leader Biden. There's a big test coming Wednesday, though. It's called Ash Wednesday. We're already hearing priests and bishops out there in their cowardice and in their cooperation with the pinko commie state of the regime of Biden, the pinko commie regimes of the European Union and China and the Pacific Rim, and the pinko commie regimes of South and Central America, all united and allied now with the Vatican on most of these matters. We're already hearing we're not going to have Ash Wednesday services this year. And if we do, you'll just get ashes sprinkled in your hair. Because if a priest touches your forehead and makes the sign of the cross while intoning that the rite from Genesis, from dust you came and from dust you shall return. I forget what it is in Latin. I should know this. But if his thumb touches your forehead, then and he's in close proximity with you, you could then get the corona bug and take it home with your ashes and kill grandma. It didn't work. Kill grandma. I turned the wrong button. There's a story at crisismagazine.com today. Are we going to throw out Ash Wednesday too? And it starts like this. First, what this is not. This article does not argue that we must hold Ash Wednesday services as usual, nor does it argue that scattering ashes on Ash Wednesday is perfectly licit. And no one who really understands the Catholic faith can object. Instead, it argues that lack of planning ahead and understanding what's at stake, something dating to long before this shamdemic, will make the loss of real ash on Ash Wednesday catastrophic if we and our exhausted church leaders don't see what's as plain as the noses on our faces. Americans, not just Catholic Americans, love Ash Wednesday, and no one takes it well when you kill what he loves.
Well, from my understanding, because Bree Dale had a Twitter thread about this, in Rome, that's how they do it. And they said that was the tradition back in the day, was to sprinkle ashes on top of the head, in the hair, and then it kind of graduated to on the forehead. Just an FYI.
Okay, then she writes, Gail Finke writes, let's go back a bit. Once upon a time, we are told the church was large and triumphant and Catholics enjoyed a plethora of colorful but long outdated devotional practices. People prayed passels of novenas, bought tacky statues and wore tacky medals, attended old processions and made odd pilgrimages, and visited shrines as if they couldn't pray right where they were. And then, in the midst of a general high point for religious practice in America, intellectuals in the church discovered these devotions were unnecessary, even superstitious. They took the place of Mass in the minds of many, or at least they hogged the stage. In was supposed to come a renewed love for the Mass, stripped of its mystery in Latin and special music. Everyone would participate fully, actively, and with enthusiasm. And how's that working out for us? She says, this is not a plea to return to the extraordinary form. I attend a beautiful, devout mass in English, and God willing, will continue to do so. No, there are many explanations for the plummet in mass attendance among Catholics and the abandonment of religious faith in America in general. It's likely that many explanations are true at once. And there's more of this prattle. Let's get to the damn point, shall we? It turns out that you can't strip too much away without driving people away. And it turns out that people love their devotionals, and we throw them away at our peril. It is far harder to rebuild than it is to destroy. And while return to devotion seems probable, maybe it's not. Perhaps only the people who most love devotions are left now, and they'll fade away too. Who's to say? But I am a person who can see what's in front of me. What I see is the same thing happening all over again. Like it or not, one of the most popular things associated with the Catholic faith in the United States has become Ash Wednesday. Millions love it. People who never darken a church door, even for Easter or Christmas, come out for the ashes. Christians of all stripes come to Catholic churches for ashes, or they hold their own services. People with no faith at all ask for ashes when they're being distributed in nursing homes and hospitals. Catholics go to church early in the morning and vow to have the biggest, darkest ash cross on their foreheads for the day. Now we are told we must have ashes scattered over us this year instead of drawn on our foreheads. Dismay was immediately met with derision. It's how they do it in lots of other countries. Isn't that good enough for you? Do you want to be Catholic or do you want to be seen to be Catholic? Why can't you have both? By the way, the miraculous metal wearing and crucifixes adorned with the corpus of our blessed Lord during the throes of his passion, which are almost exclusively the product or the external declaration of choice among these Catholics that she's talking about here. If you wore them and you had no faith, what good would it do you? So I find that most people that show some outward sign are working on it inwardly too. In other words, this is not something that's cosmetic. You don't put it on because, you know, you like the way a gold chain looks, you know, as a piece of jewelry, as an accessory. This is something that is truly devotional. Why wouldn't you want to share it with other people? As I've heard it put, if you had the cure for cancer and you had it right there in your hand, and someone you got and you met someone that had just recently been diagnosed with cancer, would you tell them, "Hey, I got the cure"? Or would you go like, "Hey, I don't want to get up in your face or anything. Maybe you're pursuing some other kind of a remedy or a treatment or whatever, but I actually have the cure." Would you deny that person? Of course, the answer to it was no, you wouldn't. This is the answer Catholics have been getting for 50 years. Can't you be Catholic in your heart? Can't you just be satisfied with the Mass, which really is everything after all? Can't you have a clear understanding of every doctrine and belief? I personally think is important. Aren't you strong enough to have the faith of a martyr for an hour of church a week and whatever personal prayer and reading time you happen to figure out, master, and fit it into a life that demands you are busy every moment? No, the answer is no. Most people aren't that strong. 50 years of demanding people develop interior strength without exterior help has shown that. Most people are not strong enough to have or maintain faith in the postmodern age. And the new practices people once thought would strengthen them didn't do the job. Maybe the leaders who ushered them in really thought those practices would work, but why? This is what I don't understand about this. Minish Chur and I are going to try and make bread for bread and water and soup Mondays and Wednesdays during Lent. Minish Chur goes, oh, you're going to try to make bread? I go, like, okay. It can't be that hard. They've been making it for 6,000 years. To which he goes like, oh, you, what do you mean it can't be that hard? All right, I think they came out wrong, but the point stands. The point stands. Humans have been making bread since recorded history. Do we need to change the formula now for bread? Why don't I want you making, that's the old bread. What's the new bread? What does it have in it? Well, it still looks like bread, but it's impossible bread. I don't want impossible bread. Like the other day, I saw some stupid, ridiculous advertisement for, what it was a restaurant site. We saw it. Was it Impossible? I want to say it was Impossible Pancakes. It was Impossible something that went, what's wrong with regular pancakes? Whatever it was. This restaurant is now proudly serving Impossible something. I wish I could remember what it was. If something works, like breathing, why change it? What is the point? Because progress demands it. I don't demand progress. You know, this is the other lie of modernity that drives a lot of this, almost all of it. That is that if you're not making progress, then you're losing. So the people that came before us that didn't make progress in the era in which they lived made nothing, had no joy in their life. Did any of them make it to heaven? That's the real question. Did any of them in the 15th century get to heaven? Are they seeing the beatific vision right now? Are they? What about the 8th century? What about the 9th? This is another assault on the good, the true, and the beautiful, and added this time, the divine. Now, it is true. Ash Wednesday is not a holy day of obligation. You don't have to go. I mean, you can, but you don't have to. Let's just take the city of New Orleans here. If I were to ask the guy in the other room, the ex-Marine, the producer of the Barrett Brief, Justin Redman, who is not a Catholic. What comes after Mardi Gras Day? What's the next day?
Ash Wednesday.
Thank you. He knows. If you live in this city, you know, people don't realize this. This city of New Orleans, used to be called the cradle of Catholicism in the Mississippi River Valley. This is the most, it once was. And it can be reclaimed. But it's one of these practices here that, look, when I was a little chirins growing up here, you knew on Tuesday you went to Aunt Mamie's Corner to go watch the parades for Carnival Day, and you partied and ate and drank, and then you got a good night's sleep or some sleep the night before or the night of Mardi Gras Day to prepare yourself for Mass Wednesday morning, when the churches would be packed to the seams at every Mass. And they'd have to have priests and deacons doing the ashes because the priests just can't do them all. And not only was it traditional, but it said something about the time of year. And people knew, hey, it's Lent. 40 days. Let's get holy. Try to make our city holy, right? Let's practice some prayer and fasting and works and whatnot. And in this city, in New Orleans, what did we add to that, Mrs. O'Connell, in the same city where you grew up in Western Louisiana? Friday, seafood feast day. Everybody knows that on a Friday during Lent, there ain't no meat eating. Even the most lukewarm ninny practices of the faith know that. And it's observed. Last year, they cheated us out of Easter. and the cowardly bishops that went along with it are just that, cowards. This year, they're going to start Holy Season with trying to get rid of Ash Wednesday and telling people, stay home. You don't need it. And then Gail Finke writes, it may be that this year we should make an unwelcome change in what has become, like it or not, the most universally beloved practice of the Catholic Church in the United States. I have my own opinion about that, but it means nothing because 50 state governments and 50 bishops' councils, countless local authorities, the USCCB, and perhaps the federal government will weigh in. But if we can't have it, for goodness sake, let's not scorn the people who want it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this show, and as she said, people of all denominations observe the solemnity of the start of Lent and Ash Wednesday, as is determined by the by. It's not one of the things I love about the Catholic calendar, because people go, they know what Mardi Gras Day is. Who sets it? Billy Graham? Who I don't mean that derisively. Who sets it? Oh, I'm sorry, Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham. Who sets it? Oral Roberts? What's that? Joel Osteen. Hey, Osteen, what day is Mardi Gras going to be on this year? What weekend is Easter? It's set by an ancient formula that was then codified by Pope Gregory the 14th, I want to say. That's why we have what's called the Gregorian calendar today. And it has to do with the cycles of the moon and whatnot. They tried to steal, and they did. They got away with it. They stole and deprived us of Easter last year. Very few people got Holy Week sacraments last year. We were told, stay home and stay safe. You don't need Easter. Yes, I do. No, you don't. You need Corona Doom Safety or you'll kill Grandma.